This is HPR episode 2591 entitled International Troubleshooting and is part of the series Hobby Electronics. It is hosted by NY Bill and is about 30 minutes long and carries a clean flag. The summary is, any Bill troubleshoots a DIY kit of Ken Forland's.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello, this is NY Bill, and I'm back with another electronics kit. This one's a little bit different. It's in a package in front of me. The kit is already built. So how do you get a kit that's already built? Well, you talk to your buddy Ken Fallon, and you say, hey, that oscilloscope that you made that didn't work, if you don't feel like troubleshooting it and you want to send it over here, I'll have a look. So that's what's in front of me right here. I haven't opened it yet. I always take pictures. I'll take pictures of things. Oh, camera is not working. Camera is freaking out. Yeah, I covered up your address, Ken. All right, let's have a look inside. I've built a couple of these. I've given some away. Let me see which one he built. Oh, this is not the oscilloscope kit. This is the transistor tester. I thought he built the scope kit. Either way, I've done this one as well. How did he seal it up like that? Oh, it's Ziploc that. Okay. And he says that when he was done with it, it was not working. Let me see the, he said, be critical. Tell him if his soldering was crap. I'm looking under the, no, that's spot on there, Ken. But the bottom of the board looks good. I don't know what this crusty white stuff is. It might just be flux residue. Soldering on the LCD looks clean. Okay. From quick inspection, I don't see any obvious problems. I didn't know this kit came where you had to solder the, he said he had to put on some SMD parts. I don't remember. Did I do SMD parts? I think I did. Oh, you know what this might be? He might have the blank chip. I'm looking inside. I haven't taken the screen off yet, but I did a HPR on these. I suppose I could put it in the show notes. One thing is you got your zero, your ZIF connector in backwards, Ken. There's no way to reach the lever. I can flip that around for you. But now I'm wondering if this is the one where they send you all the parts, but the chip is not, it's an Arduino chip. It doesn't get Arduino software, but it gets other software put on it, and it is blank. So we'll see if that's the issue. Possibly you got this all right, and I just need to flash the chip for you. So I'm going to pause here, take things apart a little bit. I'm going to find my other, I have another one of these. Oh, wait. No, I gave one to AceFair, and I gave one to Jason. I might not have another one of these. But anyways, I can troubleshoot it. So I'll have a look at it, and I'll report back in. Okay, I've got the LCD screen off now. I'm looking at, oh, it does show to put the ZIF connector in this direction. I didn't think my other one did that. There are some different revisions of this board. So I take that back, Ken. You got this ZIF connector in properly. Oh, I see what it was. The handle was like kind of popping out. The handle's just a little bit wonky, but I am looking. Soldering looks clean here. You don't have to worry about your soldering, Ken. I like it's coming up through the holes here. That means you had some proper heat going on. Let me see if the transistors, that should be a 104, the TL431. This should be a 9012. Need more light. That is a 9012. This should be a 7550 it is. This should be a 9014, yeah, transistors are right. I'm looking quickly at the caps. Fuse 22 is 104. Everything looks clean. Okay, there's the surface mount parts he was talking about. I don't know what that is. That might be a voltage regulator, the bigger one. That's either a little cap or a little resistor, and then some little tiny chip. I think that's all voltage regulation. Let me see where the traces come in. Possibly not. Okay, everything looks good. Assuming all those components are in the right places, I'm assuming all the resistors are, but I'll look into it deeper. I'll get a battery and do a little testing with the multimeter. So here's one interesting thing right off the bat. If I put my meter at the battery, I get, well, this battery is a little weak, 7.8. But when I press the button to engage the tester, I go to 1.5 and it sucks it down to 0.000. Something is shorted to ground in here. Something's sucking all the power out of it. So, okay, step one, I guess. Okay, a quick check just to make sure the battery is not junk. I've hooked the board up to my power supply, putting out 9 volts at 0.5 amps. Let's check it here on the multimeter. Get on the right level, the DC. Oh, okay. I'm checking around and I didn't turn the output of the power supply on. All right, let's try that first. All right. 9 volts dead on. Go up to the board. 9 volts dead on. Push the test button in. 8.7. So this is better. I think this battery is junk. Okay, 2 days have gone past since I last talked about this Ken's board, and you know what happens every time I say 2 days have passed, right? I've ordered something from Amazon. That's what's happened. I've wanted one of these for a while, and this was kind of the impetus to actually order one. I do quite a bit of surface mount, but more I do through-hole, so analog stuff, but I get into some digital stuff. Surface mount is very tiny, and what I use here on the bench is a overhead magnifier with an LED light, and it's on an armature. That doesn't give too much magnification. I don't even know if it says on here what magnification it is. Anyways, you've all seen these. They used to be like have an incandescent light in like the 50s, and then there was a fluorescent version. Like every desk that needs magnification has one of these things. But I use that all the time, actually. However, surface mount is so incredibly small. I've bought what I have been intending to buy for quite a while. It's in a box right here next to me. So I suppose this HPR can be a little bit about Ken's board and a little bit about this microscope that Ken just bought for me because I'm going to send him a bill. So let's take a look at this, and then I can look at a chip on his board, which I suspect is the problem, but it's too tiny to see which side the dot is on. This should help. All right, let's open it up. Oh. How loud was that? That was me dropping it on the table. First thing in, instructions on how to set it up. I would imagine it comes mostly together. Let's see. Styrofoam. Whoa, this styrofoam is very staticky. I'm gonna touch my static mat. Is staticky a word? It is now. Okay, so you do have to put it together a bit. Let me put the parts on the table here. So what this is a AMSCOPE. AMSCOPE. I'm assuming that's AMSCOPE. an SE400-7, and this is a binocular microscope. It has a, I hope that's an LED light, it has an LED light on it, but this will help really look at super tiny surface mount stuff. This chip I'm trying to look at on Ken's board is tucked in between other pieces, and this little loop that I have that has an LED light on it, I can't get it close enough to this chip because the parts around it are hiding the LED light, so it puts it in shadow, so I can't read what this chip is. I have a suspicion. Well, I looked at the schematics. I saw the schematics, and I have a suspicion what this chip is, and I have a suspicion it might be in backwards. So we'll see if that is the case or not. All right, I'll put this together. I'm going to need a bigger bench soon. I can't fit all this. I actually built a shelf. If anybody wants to poke through my Media Goblin pictures, there's one day where I'm building a shelf underneath here. So I stuck a bunch of the stuff that was up on the desk underneath the shelf here, like the hot air gun is under there, the case for the desoldering pen, and boxes that held parts. I just had to get some stuff off the bench. Now I have to get more stuff off the bench. I've been thinking about building a hutch in the back and then put the power supply, the multimeter, and the scope up on the hutch and have all the soldering stuff tucked under the hutch. Maybe one day, we'll see. All right. I'll put this together and I will have a look at this little tiny surface mount 6-pin dip on Ken's board. Okay, I just set it up and it is more powerful than I thought. All I could see was blur. I could see my green mat, like a little bit of green. So I stuck my hand under the scope and I have to zoom out. It's very powerful. And all of a sudden, I start seeing like the pores in my skin, on my hand. That's more powerful than I thought. Let me get the scope, let me get the board and zoom in on it. Let's see what this chip is. Comes with some different optics too. What is this one? Wow, times 20. I'm only using times 1. What is this? Times 1. The upper eyepieces are times 10. And the lower eyepiece is times 1, so, and then they have times 20. That must be like, that is super tiny. All right, let me just put that aside. Let me get the board under here. Oh, this is perfect. This is the perfect size. So the board is a good 10 inches below the microscope, but I'm picking it all up. Super clear. Hang on while I learn how to use this. Oh, nice. And then you can just aim this LED light into the board. Okay, so now I got that area lit between. Yeah, it's the VO5. It's a VO5 chip, it's like a bunch of diodes in there. I'm gonna have to look at the schematic and see which way they want this chip oriented. Oh yeah, this thing will let me look at the solder joints too. It's a little it's cool. It's gonna take a little while to get used to. So one leg is barely on a pad. Is that opened? I don't even know. I have to get one of my really tiny screwdrivers to poke in there. One of my really tiny screwdrivers looks huge. Oh no, Ken. The leg of this pin I'm touching with my screwdriver is too much heat and it's burned. It's trying to fall right out of the. Okay, we may have found a problem. The pin on this chip has been overheated and it's trying to fall right out of the case. I'm not sure. Yes. Okay. This. First, I have to replace this chip. I have to confirm the orientation of it too. It might be still be backwards. Once I take this chip off, I'll see. I'm looking for a little dot on the board and I see the dot on the chip, which indicates pin 1. Which I don't know how they expect you to see this with your bare eye, but I can see it now. I looked up the spec sheet on this. Let me give you the number of the, I'm calling it a VO5, and if you look for that, you're going to get like shampoo or something. Okay, the full name for the part is SVR5-04. I think it's an 04. I'll look into that. If if it's something else. But that's the, it's going to be definitely the SVR5 portion. Well, I like this new microscope. Thanks, Ken. The bill will be over soon. You can pay it in US or whatever the heck you guys use over there. I can see you had a tough time with this. Surface mount is really tricky. There is a trick to it, too. If you can get solder paste, which comes in a syringe, and what it is flux with microscopic beads of solder, and you basically take the syringe and you paint that on each pad, then you can use a very fine-tipped soldering pen just to touch each, or even a better thing is to use a hot air pen, and when the hot air starts heating up the pins, it'll heat up the flux, and it actually sucks it right into position on the pads, and the solder melts. That's the best way to do it, hot air. But I've had success with a very fine-tipped soldering pen. Here's another trick for surface mount, if you're going to use a soldering pen. Get your finest tip and put a little solder on it, and then clean it off in that little the Brillo pad type thing. Not the sponge, that Brillo pad coiled up metal stuff. And it'll look like you have no solder left on the tip, but actually there is enough to do like 20 pins of a surface mount chip. So two little tips there that I've learned the hard way, or finally got around to a correct way after trial and error. This is hard. This is so close up, it's hard to figure out what I'm looking at. There we go. Looking back at this chip. I don't know how I can possibly get a picture of this stuff. Oh, maybe I can use my macro lens on my Nikon. That's not even going to be as powerful as this microscope, but I'll see what I can do. The other two surface mount parts, they didn't need to be oriented in either any particular way. So, Ken, did you stick this down with some type of goop first to hold it there and then solder? There's some type of goop all underneath it. I don't blame you. I use tweezers, but I'm going to have to cut out a lot of pauses in this one because I'm working and talking at the same time. All right, so there's a... That might be the dot on the board there. Yeah, they put a dot, but it's kind of a triangle. And the pin one is at pin 3, 4. So I'm going to have to find another one of these chips and suck this one off. And they are diodes, so diodes are going to let the DC flow in one direction and not the other. So that could be the reason why this, when you press the button on this board does nothing. It's not going through these diodes. It's just hitting a wall. If anyone wants the extended version of this podcast, there's a whole bunch of pauses and, ooh, oh, that's neat, because this scope is really cool. Okay, that's where I'm going to start my repairs. I'll see if I can get a macro shot. And if I can, wow, when I come away from the microscope, I've been looking at it for like 10 minutes, and now the whole entire world looks so tiny. If I can get a shot of this, maybe I'll have to blow it up with GIMP or something. But you will see, what you're going to see is, oh yeah, okay, there's the, it's saying what chip should go in here on the board, on the silk screen, SVR5-04. And if you see this picture, you'll see a pulse width, DC pulse width, oh, something else just wiggled, DC pulse width on the silk screen, and then right above that you'll see a little white triangle. I suspect that is where they want the dot, the pin one. The pin one on this is kitty corner, so this part I believe is backwards, but it's also damaged. So let me see if I can get one of these from like DigiKey or Mauser, or I'll, you know, they're going to cost 5 cents each, so I'll end up getting like 20 of them and a whole bunch of other stuff to boot. This is going to be a really big bill, Ken. You better, you know, like put in some overtime. All right, so there are the parts from DigiKey. I say parts because I got three of them. They were only like $1 each. And if I burn a leg off another one, or, you know, I got a couple extras, I'll put them in the parts bin. I don't even know what's in my parts bin anymore. There's so much stuff there. So these were $1 each, and shipping was like $4. So, of course, you got to pad it up a little bit. So Ken bought me some nice Fluke probes there and some soldering paste. The guy's got like an endless pocket. So first thing I got to do is get rid of this microscope, and I'm going to have to suck out the bad parts. So turn on the solder sucker, and then I got to get this this blue terminal out of the way. I might take both of them out just to free up that space. I got to get tweezers in there. There's on the bottom of the board, there are two, I forget what these even are. They're two screw terminals. One says ground. I forget what those even are. Anyways, all right, the top is a pulse without. I don't know. I'd have to look it up online. Here, let me take a picture of this here. What's a common component? Yep, there's the 9-volt battery terminal. Let me open this up. So there's a standard 9-volt battery terminal. And there is a picture of three of these chips in the, still in the packaging. That's how tiny these get. Somebody went out in this giant warehouse with a pair of scissors and took a reel and just cut three of these off and mailed them to me. All right, so I'll pause here. I'll suck out these the blue screw terminals. I'm going to suck out the bad chip. And I think this is going to take some hot air. So my hot air station is under the bench. I'm going to have to bring that up here and make a little room for it and get this new chip on the board. Okay, I sucked the parts out. I pulled out the bad chip. I did spin it around, like I mentioned, putting pin one down on the lower right. I found that the hot air was not working so well for me because this chip is so tiny that the air would just push it, just send it flying onto the bench. So what I did was, it's not easy to do. Use your dominant hand. I'm a lefty, so I had to left the my little soldering tip, my soldering pen with a little soldering tip in my left hand, and I was holding the piece with the tweezers. And if you're ever doing this, just tack down one corner of the chip, spin it around. You can align it if you want a little bit, and then tack the opposite corner. So in this case, I did the lower left pin first, spin the board around, align it on the pads, and then do the upper right. And then after that, just clean your tip again and, you know, just do every pin. So after I did that, I turned on the power and put the screen back in, and I get a light on the screen. So we're making progress here. The other thing I did was I pulled out the LED way back in testing. I'm going to put this back in, and well, I could probably do that while you're listening. So stay tuned. Let me stick it in here. I wasn't sure if the LED was in the proper way. I have the LED in just with my thumb. I guessed on the direction. I pressed the start button and the screen is coming up. No part. Calibrate for calibration. So this chip is, the firmware is on this chip. The problem was with this this diode array down here, this little SMD. It is, what's it now doing? Hit the key. Within 25 seconds, disconnect the pins after. So it's going into the calibration. So let me solder this LED back in. Let me pull the power off. Solder the LED in place. I'll put these two blue terminals back in place. And Ken, you got your working board. It'll be on the way back to you. I have to look around and see if I have the proper things. To calibrate these, you need just two jumper wires. There's like an A, B, and C pad. So in one part of the calibration, you're going to short out A, B, and C, just so it has a reference to short. And then in another second part of the calibration, you put a large capacitor in. So I've given these capacitors to my buddy Jason and Acephere. So I don't know if I have a capacitor that's suitable to do the calibration, but I'll look quick online and see if I have one. And if I do, I'll do the calibration as well. And then Ken will get a nice working calibrated board back. All right, let's try and calibrate this thing. I don't have a single capacitor. I looked up what the calibration procedure was, and it calls for a 100 nanofarad capacitor. But I do have resistance and capacitance substitution boxes. I don't know if I ever talked about these. These are other kits. I have lots of kits. So if you do a little conversion, it's asking for 0.1 microfarad, which I have on this capacitance substitution box. So let's try and calibrate this. I'll take a picture here. So next to the board, you can see this shorted piece of wire that you need to go into like A, B, C slot or 1, 2, 3, however they call it. So let's turn it on. First, you got to turn on your power supply, Bill. Channel 1, 9 volts, on. Turn on the board. It checks the battery first. It says unknown or damaged part, but that's because we have nothing in the ZIF socket. Not calibrated. Clamp the 3 pins together. So here, I got to put the 3 pins in. I might have talked about this when I did the HPR on this board. So I've just shorted these 3 pins they want. I'll press the button. So you short the 3 pins. Oh, they're calling it 1, 3, and 2, but anyways, it's doing a self-test. Then you undo the pins. Ah, that's what I'm doing wrong. This one might be different firmware than mine. So this one wants, this is different than the ones I did. Clamp the 3 probes together, like I've been saying, if I can get them in there. And then press the button. It checks the battery and it says, is this a self-test? Yes. So you acknowledge, yes, this is a self-test. Then it says, isolate the probes. And it checks those. I don't know if I have to acknowledge again. CO 41, 41, 43 picofarad, okay. Now it's asking for 100 nanofarads between 1 and 3. So I'll do that with this substitution box. It's getting a reference. Test is ended. All right, so let me just find some parts and we'll see if this thing works now. Here is a resistor. That's just next to me. 9 volt battery, testing. Testing the battery, okay. And it says it is a 1578 ohm. Let's go, let me get a transistor. No one's cleaned this place yet, people. Thought we had an agreement. There's a diode. I never checked a diode in this thing. Let me check a diode. Testing. Oh yeah, look at that. 1 to 3, it shows the direction of the diode. UF241NV. That's... I don't know how to read that. I'll have to look into that. I'm still looking for a diode. They're around. Or a transistor, I mean. There's one right there in a bag of miscellaneous parts. So with a transistor, you want to put one pin in one. They're kind of, this ZIF socket has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 holes in it on the top and the bottom. So you could like drop an IC in there, but that's not what they want you to do. They want you to put one component leg over in the left, one in the right, and one in the middle. If it's a capacitor, here's a capacitor. Is that a capacitor? No, that is a MOV. Here's a capacitor. They want you to put one in the left and one in the right. So let's check this electrolytic. Battery 9 volts testing. It is 10.69 microfarad. Gives you the ESR, gives you the voltage loss, and it shows you the direction of the electrolytic. Let's put in this transistor. So where I'm going now is one pin from the left is in the second hole, another pin is in the fourth, and another pin is in the sixth, and I'll test this. All right, so this says it's a BJT NPN transistor. It shows a little graphic of which is the collector, the emitter, and the base, and it gives you other details. So this board is working now. So I'm sending it back to you, Ken, and... I was just joking about you're going to buy me all these extra things. Okay, I did this for fun, buddy. All right, expect this back. If anybody wants to contact me, nybill@gunmonkeynet.net. I'm still on the Mastodon thing, although it seems to be taken over by bots and people just boosting stuff. But I'll see how it goes. Until next time, guys.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.